instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva, text 35. Yadatra kriyate karma,
Bhagavat paritoshanam,
Jnanam yastadadinam hi, Bhakti yoga samamitam. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of Lord is called Bhakti Yoga or transcendental loving service to the Lord, and what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. Translation, please repeat. Whatever work is done here,
in this life
for the satisfaction of
the
mission of the Lord
is
called Bhakti Yoga
or
transcendental loving service to the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. Purport. The general and popular notion is that by discharging crooked work in terms of the direction of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire transcendental knowledge for spiritual realization. Bhakti Yoga is considered by some to be another form of karma. But factually, Bhakti Yoga is above both karma and jnana. Bhakti Yoga is independent of jnana or karma. On the other hand, jnana and karma are dependent on Bhakti Yoga. This Kriya Yoga or Karma Yoga, as recommended by Sri Narada to Vyasa, is specifically recommended because the principle is to satisfy the Lord. The Lord does not want His sons, the living beings, to suffer the threefold miseries of life. He desires that all of them come to Him and live with Him. But going back to Godhead means that one must purify himself from material infections. When work is performed, therefore, to satisfy the Lord, the performer becomes gradually purified from the material affection. This purification means attainment of spiritual knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is dependent on karma or work done on behalf of the Lord. Other knowledge being devoid of Bhakti Yoga or satisfaction of the Lord cannot lead one back to the kingdom of God, which means that it cannot even offer salvation, as already explained in connection with the stanza Nash Karmyam of Achyuta Bhava Varjitam. The conclusion is that a devotee engaged in the unalloyed service of the Lord, specifically in hearing and chanting of His transcendental glories, becomes simultaneously spiritually enlightened by the divine grace, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pamukham Gayate Girim Yatrupatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinakaranam Vamsha Kalpatarubhyasya Vipasindubhyasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of all the Vedic scriptures. This is very interesting, this discussion between these two great personalities. And Narada, as we see in whole Bhagavatam, he gives lessons to so many personalities. To Yudhishthira Maharaj, to Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, like that. So these instructions are very important. And today's verse, we see there is the definition of Bhakti Yoga. So we all are aspiring Bhakti Yogis. So we should know what is Bhakti Yoga. And so there are many definitions within Bhagavatam. So this is one of them. So here it says, whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called Bhakti Yoga. So we have whatever activity done for the satisfaction of mission of Lord, so that is Bhakti Yoga. And another thing mentioned is transcendental loving service to Lord. What is Bhakti Yoga? Is transcendental loving service. So these are, can say, two things given here. So as we see, if someone is working in a company, they have a job profile. What are the tasks you have to do? So like that. So if we have this, so we all are Bhakti Yogis in ISKCON. So this is the job profile given in Bhagavatam, throughout Bhagavatam. What are the activities or tasks you have to do? So when we see Prahlad Maharaj, he was just a small boy, and but he was a devotee from birth. He heard from Narada when he was within the womb. So Hiranyakashipu, his father, he went to do severe austerities. And meanwhile, Prahlad Maharaj was within the womb of his mother. And taking advantage of Hiranyakashipu's absence from the heavenly kingdom, the demigods came and they tried to get back their kingdom, which Hiranyakashipu had acquired. So they were trying, all the demons were afraid, and they also, Indra was about to take mother of Prahlad Maharaj. So then Narad Muni came and he stopped him that, no, don't take her with you. So Indra said, within the womb there is a demon. So Narada Muni said, no, within the womb there is a Mahabhagavat, which is Prahlad Maharaj, like that. So when Prahlad Maharaj was young, his father sent him to study Vedic various materialistic knowledge under demoniac teachers. So then one day he took Prahlad Maharaj to his lab and he said, okay, please tell me what you have learned. So then he also actually gave the definition of bhakti. He said, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pad Sevanam, Archanam Mandanam, Sem Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. So these are the nine processes. This is like description given. So what, as a bhakti yogi, what we have to do? So beginning from Shravana and Kirtana. So that's the process. So here, so we dedicate this any activity. So if we see, even hearing and chanting, it's very hard to dedicate fully to Lord. If we see in India, they have many Bhagavad Sattas. They are also chanting, and they are chanting about Krishna. But they are not dedicating those, that chanting and hearing to Lord, to Lord's mission. Lord's mission is to take all the living entities within the material world back home, back to Godhead. But some people, they are chanting these glories even from Bhagavatam, but the motivation is not satisfaction of Lord. Motivation is just to earn some money. So that's not perfect. That is not Bhakti Yoga. That will actually take them to hell. And the hearers also, what they are hearing, they are also very cheap. They want some cheap commodity. So they will also follow them. A blind man leads another blind man to the head, you know, down the ditch like that. So this is the thing. So everything, even these activities, while performing these activities, hearing, chanting, we have to dedicate it to the mission of Lord. So here it says, yad atra kriyate karma. So in this life or this world, atra. So here, if we see, hey, now we are here in this world. Now, fortunately, we have got this human form of body. So this is a chance that we can actually go back to Godhead within this body. Even demigods in heavenly planets, they are actually praying that, oh, when can we get this human form of life? Because there is so much happiness and opulence in heavenly planets, it becomes very hard to do bhakti yoga. So there are two ways. One way to go back to Godhead is you go, okay, heavenly planets, then rise up to Brahma Loka and you can go to Godhead from there, or from human platform in this middle planetary system on Earth. So this is one. So demigods, actually they pray that, oh, this is a very long process, that, you know, this life of demigods is very big, huge span of life, and then, you know, and there is so much opulence that they can actually get distracted. So actually they are praying that, okay, we may, you know, that's good that we can get this human form in which there is mixed happiness and distress. This is better. In a short time you can go back to Godhead. So they are praying like that. So now that we have got this opportunity, we shouldn't waste, and we should dedicate all the activities in for the mission of Lord like that. So it is said, the body is anyway, it's like a bad bargain. So we have to make the best use. So this body is just like, the example is given like a pot. So there is, in the beginning it's not manifest, it's, you know, within the whole material energy, the mahatattva is merged, the body. The same way, like there is a pot, small, initially when the potter has not made the pot, it's just a lump of earth. So then he takes that mass of earth on a potter's wheel and makes a pot. So now it has a form. Previously it was not manifest. It was there, but it wasn't manifest. And then there is a division, you use the pot for various things, and then it's again merged within the earth. And then it's there, but you can't see the form. So same way, this body that we have is initially unmanifest, and then in the middle it's manifest, and then in the end it again becomes unmanifest. So Bhagavad Gita also, it's given, avyakta dini bhutani vyakta madhyani bhavata. In the middle it's just manifest. But this is a great opportunity. While we are in the human form, we can go back to Godhead, rather than, you know, again being unmanifest, then another body, another form, like that. So it's a very risky position. It's like the greatest danger is you can fall down to the lower species, and then it takes another so many lifetimes, millions of lifetimes, to attain human platform. So now that we have got this chance, we should be very careful like that. So here we see the difference between bhakti yoga and other forms of yoga is also mentioned by Prabhupada, karma yoga, jnana yoga, like that. So here it says, bhakti is independent and other forms of yoga are not independent. They are actually dependent on bhakti. So to get the perfection without attaining your bhakti, it's not possible. Like, so only if you only perform fruitive activities, if you only perform jnana yoga, acquire knowledge, but without attaining your bhakti, the highest perfection cannot reach there. So in his prayers, when of Prahlad Maharaj, when he prayed to Lord Narasimha, Narasimhadev, after he had killed Hiranyakashipu, Kalanara said that there are actually 10 processes you can follow, by which following these 10 processes you can get out of this material world, you can achieve liberation. So processes like, you know, the Mon Vrata, be silent, don't speak to others, like you go to a secluded place or study the Vedas, do different austerities. So there are many methods for liberation. But then he says, even if you follow them, the practitioner of these processes actually generally gets proud. He gets proud, so much knowledge, you know, of the Vedas, you know. Now, okay, I haven't spoken from so many months. It's a great thing. And generally, tongue is very uncontrollable. So, you know, if someone has controlled it or is trying, he can become proud like that. Or if one is in a secluded place, he can become proud like that. So that's why he said the pride can come and they may not actually achieve perfection. So you may do these processes. But Bhakti Yoga is totally different. It's totally independent and all the knowledge is provided to go back to Godhead. And the one more difference, one technical difference between Bhakti Yoga and other forms of yoga is the practitioner in other forms of yoga, they depend on their own endeavor. Karma, okay, you have done fruitive activities, you get results. So you can see you have done something, so you get. And jnana, okay, you have accumulated knowledge, like that. So you have done something. So your capacity or capability to attain knowledge. Or in Ashtanga Yoga, you can do various, the eight limbs. So that's also how can you do pratyahara or different asanas. So it's your own ability. But in Bhakti Yoga, actually, from beginning, the practitioner is taught to depend on the mercy of the Lord. So that's the very important difference between Bhakti Yoga and other forms of yoga. So without mercy of Lord, even practitioners of other forms of yoga, they cannot achieve perfection. So Bhakti Yoga is so perfect, the means and end is the same. You start from the chanting. You know, you chant about the glories of Lord, you hear about the mercy of Lord, like that. So from the beginning, it's like we are depending on Lord. And His position is mentioned, obviously, Supreme Personality of Godhead. From Him, everything emanates, like that. So there's, and this mercy actually is described, this is very amazing. So devotees can feel, very interesting pastimes are there. So it is said this mercy is like, it's like a chain reaction. So you know, chain reaction is, in science we see the chain reaction, different chemicals, you know, they react and then something is formed and then they further react, the byproducts further react. Like that. And that was used actually in the nuclear bombing also, the uranium based bombing, that, you know, the atom bomb which fell on Hiroshima. Because the chain reaction was there, so that reaction actually, even after many many years, the future generation, they were suffering because of that chain reaction like that. So materially this chain reaction is very harmful, very harmful, this chain reaction. So another example of this chain reaction is given in that, how one thing leads to other, it's given in Bhagavad Gita, that how actually you fall down totally into Maya. So it's given how it starts, the reaction starts first, you know, the reaction starts by contemplating the sense objects. So senses are very attached to the sense objects. Dayato Vishyamsa Sangha Sesho Bhajayate. So once you contemplate on the sense objects, eyes want to see beautiful thing, you know, nose want to smell nice fragrance, like that. All the senses are attached to the sense objects. So, but when you contemplate on that, if there are thoughts, because a living entity means it's sentient, it's it's conscious. So that means they would be thinking, feeling and willing. Thinking, willing and feeling. So these things will be there. So there will be some thoughts. But if the thoughts are based on the material sense objects, so then what happens? The reaction starts. If the contemplation is long enough, then the next step, the mind becomes attached to those sense objects and then lust develops and then further reaction goes on. Anger and then memory is bewildered and intelligence is lost and you fall down in the material pool. So this is the material chain reaction. But the spiritual chain reaction is very wonderful actually. The spiritual chain reaction is a chain reaction of mercy. So how it happens is actually when you get mercy of a devotee, then you get mercy of Krishna. By mercy of Krishna, you get mercy of devotee. You know, like that. Guru Krishna prasade paya bhakti lata bij. Yasya prasada bhava prasada. So by the mercy of Guru, you get mercy of Krishna. It's like a chain reaction. Like that. So there is one pastime in which, like how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, so he was very old and he got a dream in which Nityananda Prabhu himself came and he ordered him, oh, you go to Vrindavan and write Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is although he's very, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami is so humble actually, he was begging that please to all the readers that, oh, please read this very carefully, you know, I have no qualification, I am like worm in a stool, but this subject that I am discussing is very elevated, so please read it carefully. So this is his position, very humble. So he didn't want to, you know, elaborate that, oh, see, I've got a dream of Nityananda Prabhu. What do you get in your dreams, you know? But he actually wanted to glorify Nityananda Prabhu. That, oh, see how merciful he is. He has come in my dream. Like that. So, so this is mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, or Lord himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adi Guru. So then, he immediately, he just left for Vrindavan, he immediately acted like that. And then what happened? This chain reaction of mercy. So he went there and then he met Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and he got their mercy there. So by their mercy, by hearing from them, then he, by hearing from the notes of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, he collected the information of pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then he wrote this wonderful scripture. So this is the chain reaction actually, the spiritual chain reaction that takes place. So we have to actually depend on this mercy of Lord in Bhakti Yoga. And if we are fully surrendered to the mission of Lord, this mercy is actually already available. So it's just like the sun. Sun is very merciful. It spreads its rays everywhere. Of course, last few days were very hot. We wouldn't appreciate mercy. But generally, if there is no sun, this planet wouldn't, this whole universe wouldn't run actually. So, but it is so merciful, it just spreads its rays everywhere. You know, on the water, on land, and everywhere. So one has to be in that sunshine and come out of the dark room so that you can access the mercy. So like that. So if we are surrendered to the mission of Lord, means we are exposing ourselves to the mercy of Lord. So, and if we spread, we try to spread this mission. So Krishna says, one who gives this knowledge to others, there is no devotee more dear to me. He will get the full mercy like that. So that's the example of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami showing he was ready to give this knowledge of bhakti, this devotion to others. So he received the full mercy of Krishna and all the pure. further, if we see what actually stops us to get the mercy of Lord, is just like the consciousness, the material consciousness. It's like existence in a very dense forest. So dense forest, this material existence is compared to a very dense forest. If you see that any dense forest you go to, it's not really enjoyable place. It looks like a very nice greenery, nice river. If you go to somewhere, you know, Amazon basin, there's very nice rivers flowing. But actually it's not very safe place. In that river there are very dangerous fishes, very dangerous animals in that forest, like that. In fifth canto there is a description of the forest of material enjoyment. So there is one businessman who wanted to collect some goods so that he can sell and gain profit. So he entered this forest to collect a few nice things. But in that greed, he actually entered very deep in that dense forest, and then he suffered a lot. So there were, you know, tigers, jackals, and mosquitoes, and different things which were, you know, dark wells, and sounds of owls, and you know, it became very fearful. Snakes, yeah, the big snake, whirlwinds, many things. So, python. It's called, the python is compared to, I think, the sleep. It's like when one is in sleep, it's like ignorance. It's like swallowed by a python when you are asleep. Like, I can't do anything like that. So because a living entity, he sees this forest, oh, I can enjoy. But when he enters that, he just keeps going deep and deep and deep. Like that. And then it gets entrapped by these various miseries. There's the threefold miseries. Miseries caused by natural disturbances, miseries caused by other living entities, miseries caused by our own body and mind. So we are never actually free from these miseries. So this material enjoyment actually doesn't exist. It's just like, it's the palace and the cloud. It's just like, it doesn't exist. But it seems it's there. And you try to go further, but it's very troublesome. So further actually discussing more about Prahlad Maharaj's, he gives a very nice analogy. He says this is just like another analogy. It says, Maya Sukha Sukhaya Vara Udva Tovi Mula. So he actually prays that a devotee, this is the mood of a devotee. A devotee, he just wants to carry out the mission of Lord. And he is not actually concerned with his own happiness. So Prahlad Maharaj said to Narasimha Dev that I am actually not concerned with my self. I'm actually floating in ocean of bliss. Because I always remember your glories and activities. So a devotee is always doing hearing, chanting, remembering. So he's anyway happy wherever he goes. Doesn't matter. So Prahlad Maharaj was born as in a demoniac family. All the demons were around him. It's pretty hellish. But a devotee doesn't care. Narayana para sarve na putashtena vibhyati swarga varga narkeshu api tulyata dashena. So a devotee actually, he is not fearful of any condition. So he, even, you know, if he's in hell or heaven or, you know, achieve liberation, he doesn't care. He sees everything equally, because in any condition he is doing hearing, chanting, remembering. So Prahlad Maharaj says, I am very happy, but I just am concerned with these fools and rascals who have taken this burden, Maya Sukhaya Varam, this unwanted burden. this responsibility you have to maintain this country, society, family. Is this unwanted burden like that you have taken? It's not required. And then what is happening? I think in fourth canto again it's given. So once you have taken this burden, so then it's troublesome, right? So then to relieve on the head if someone has taken a big burden. So actually before that there was one old lady going to the forest, very nice story. The old lady was going, she was carrying big bundle of wood for cooking and other purposes. So she was so worried she couldn't carry, and then she dropped it on the way. And she just called out, "Oh God, help me." And God appeared. Said, "Oh, what can I do for you?" He said, "Oh, can you please put this burden on my head again?" So this is the condition. God himself has appeared. You can ask for anything. they are praying, "Oh, please give me this, give me that." It's like an unwanted burden. So then when they are troubled by the burden, they just move it to one shoulder. Then it pains there, they move it to other shoulder, like that. So these are the other the remedies they are trying to, which is not permanent. These remedies are not permanent, like that. So this is a very strange situation. But devotees actually, they are merciful. They can see, oh, these people are suffering. So by prasadam distribution, book distribution, harinam sankirtan, they are trying to carry out this mission of Lord. And in Kali Yuga especially, Yuga Dharma, the harinam sankirtan, is like we spread the holy name, the chanting of holy name, and of course when we distribute prasad they get purified, and then they can take up to the chanting process like that. And so this is very important. So to be concerned with the suffering of others and take this mission of Lord, so this is bhakti yoga. And devotee actually doesn't desire anything for himself, he just wants this pure devotional service. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam ma jagadish kamir mam janmani janmeshwari bhavka bhakti raituritoi." So generally he said, if we are alive, it means we will have some desires. So we don't have to get rid of the desires, we just have to purify the desires. But we don't want anything material. Na dhanam, no wealth, no followers, big birth, like that. We don't want any material opulence, because these material opulences are they are like obstacles. But what does the devotee want? Mam janmani janmeshwari bhavta bhakti raituritoi. That birth after birth, I desire that I get your devotional service, pure devotional service. So this is the only desire of a devotee. And this is perfect. If we desire this, this is perfect desire. Because whatever other things that we desire are actually temporary. Say, even in Kunti Maharani's prayer, she says, "Janmeshwara Shuka Shive, E Manamuda Puran Kuman, Neva Rathya Abhidatum Vai, Tvam Akechana Gochara." See, she says, material opulence means four things. What are the four things? You have a high parentage, born in a very exalted family, aristocratic family. This is material opulence. Okay. Then second is the wealth. You have been born, with a golden spoon or silver spoon in the mouth, like that. So you are very rich. And then high learning. If you have so much knowledge, that's also material opulence. And then beauty, very attractive beauty, you have, that's material opulence. But these four things are like barriers. So Kunti Maharani says these four actually create like a mother, like an illusion, a madness of, I have this opulence. So generally speaking, if you have one of these, or if you have a combination of these, you get very proud. One gets very proud and wants to be controlled more and more. So she says if someone has these four, he or she cannot fully give the heart to Krishna. And Krishna is actually the property of Akinchana, one who has nothing, poor person, who doesn't have these four things. It's easier for him. But if someone is actually, one has these, one of these four things or few of these four things, and he can dedicate his consciousness towards Krishna, that's very fortunate position. So it can be said he has got mercy of Krishna like that. So we have to consider that, oh, our position is very precarious, it's a temporary world. So we have to fully dedicate in this bhakti yoga process, the mission of Lord. Sometimes it looks like a bhakti yoga process, looks like troublesome, oh, every day, you know, I have to chant and read. One, you know, sometimes you think, oh, is that all enough? What else? But actually, if we keep doing that, it becomes very joyful. Because all the anarthas, as we go from one shraddha, sadhusam, to one stage to another, nishtha, ruchi, like that, it becomes more and more enjoyable. Becomes so, because the momentum increases, it's the attraction keeps increasing, like that. Actually, the perfect example is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he, so as we saw that how the material chain reaction was there, all our senses are attracted to the sense object. But actually there are spiritual sense objects for the spirit. So what are the perfect sense objects for the eyes? You see the beauty of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's like, he said, he gave the example, analogy of horse. He said, my mind is like a horse. And one horse, and it's being pulled by five senses in different directions. And he said, I'm just becoming mad. So that's a spiritual ecstasy. So if we, our eyes are seeing the beauty of Lord, our tongue is tasting the sweet taste of Lord through prasada, and then our ears are hearing the sound of the flute, or Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the kirtan. But touch, we are touching in the soft body of Lord. So like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, this, all my five senses are just pulling me and becoming mad. So this is, but it's not a miserable condition that he was in, it was totally blissful. So this is the ultimate position that we can achieve by following this mission of the Lord. And it's very easily accessible to us through this Paramara system. So it's like while offering prasadam, how do? We offer to spiritual master and he passes up in the Paramara. He passes to Prabhupada and Prabhupada further passes, it reaches to Krishna. He accepts and then Krishna passes down his mercy like that. So we offer up and it, mercy comes down. So nice, very simple process. Like that. So here Srila Prabhupada is saying as his conclusion, the conclusion is that a devotee engaged in the unalloyed service of the Lord, specifically in hearing and chanting of his transcendental glories, becomes simultaneously spiritually enlightened by the divine grace, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. So we have to see if we are just applying this hearing and chanting process very nicely, regularly, attentively. So then we get this divine grace or the mercy. And it says, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita, the four main shlokas, the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita, first Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, Mata Sarvam Prabhupada, everything comes from me. And then all the devotees who are engaged in hearing and conversing about me, they are fully joyful, and then one who is fully engaged, to them I give buddhi yoga the dhamika yenmamudyantire. To them I give this knowledge. As here you said, the knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. If you are engaged in devotional service, Krishna will provide the knowledge. He will provide buddhi yoga. And then the last one verse of Chaturshloki, Tesham evana kampartam aham agyana jantama nashramya atma bhavasu gyanitene bhava. So this ignorance, there is in the heart, there is this darkness of ignorance. But by this anukampa, by this mercy, Krishna actually lights this lamp of knowledge and dispels all the darkness or ignorance. Then we can So this mercy of Krishna is required, of, and we endeavor to just follow the mission of spiritual master, which is the mission of the Lord. And, so I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
You want to say something about adhinam, the word adhinam?
Yeah, adhinam is means dependent, as we were discussing, that these processes of jnana yoga, karma yoga, they are dependent on bhakti. So you cannot achieve perfection if there is no tinge of bhakti. That's what it means. This jnana, it says, knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. So knowledge is dependent on bhakti. If you just perform bhakti, you will get the knowledge.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Just a question. I think hydrogen bomb is a nuclear fusion reaction, not a chain reaction.
Yeah, I said uranium. Sorry if I said hydrogen. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So uranium is chain reaction. Sorry.
So the chain reaction in Bhakti Yoga, once you start it, it never stops.
Yeah. So it starts with the, when the Guru puts the seed of Bhakti within the heart, and the creeper starts growing. And it says it goes. When you water it, the creeper, with hearing, and the water of hearing and chanting and other bhakti processes, and it grows and grows, and it pierces the covering of this material universe and reaches spiritual world, and it keeps growing, and then it reaches, it rests. This chain reaction stops when the creeper reaches under the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka. And it's a very wonderful reaction. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Ranjana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanande Ki.